Beware of angels. In the last decade or so, angels have come into popularity more than ever before. People like to take little idols of angels and put them in their houses. They like to take little idols of angels and pin them to their clothes and say that they're carrying an angel. Sadly, most of these folk do not realize that the Bible forbids this, and it is a form of idolatry, and it will only attract the evil angels around you, not the good angels. Because when we are breaking the law of God, the evil angels have more access to us, and the good angels are more limited as to how they can protect us under those circumstances. God, in His mercy, does give extra protection for those who just plain don't know any better and have never had the chance to learn any better. But few of us really come under that category because the Bible is available to us as never before in history. There really is no excuse for not knowing what it teaches, except that people just don't bother to take an interest in such things. I have read stories of people who really thought they were being visited and helped by holy angels when it was just Satan and his angels playing games with them. This book is one of them. It is a very sad story in how these people were so badly deceived. But I have read others too. I have read one that was talking about a deliverance ministry. These people one day had an angel just come walking in among them. He was wearing a sword and he was all dressed up. And he walked in, he says, "I'm your special guardian angel that's been sent to help you with your ministry, and I'm going to be telling you how to do it," and so on like this. It was very obvious that this was not one of God's angels. God's angels tend to keep a very low profile. They don't tend to walk up and say, "Hi, I'm one of God's angels." When you run into this type of thing, you are dealing with evil spirits. God's angels tend to, when they do intervene, they tend to do it by working through someone, or else they will appear just as a human being. You can be sure that anyone who appears as a relative that is dead or even a pet, but this is not a heavenly angel, because the angels know that the dead know not anything, and they're not going to be part of creating a deception that would cause people to think that the lies that Satan tells about man having an immortal soul are actually true. So when you see that type of thing, you know this is not a heavenly angel. I had a friend of mine, too, that contacted me and told me that he had seen an angel in his room, that he walked into his room and there was this beautiful female angel. And she spread her wings and just slowly rose into the air and disappeared up through the ceiling. Now, that, as I told the man, much to his displeasure, this was not one of God's angels, because there are no female angels. And angels do not appear like that just to make you admire them, because angels have the humility of Christ. They do not put themselves in positions where somehow you're going to admire them and be prompted to feel like you should bow down and worship them, because this is contrary to God's law. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Angels are deceiving many people today, because most people believe that angels are the spirits of the dead who go to heaven, and then some of them are given the job to come back and watch over their families and friends and so on down here on earth. This is not true at all. Angels are a completely separate order of beings. They are spirit beings, and they were in existence before man was created. We read in Genesis where the morning stars sang together, and the morning stars in this case represented God's holy angels. We also know that before that Satan's fall came about, before any human being had died on this earth, and before they were even created on this earth, and when Satan disguised himself as the serpent and appeared unto Eve, there had been nobody died before that. Sin had not as yet entered the world except only in the heart of Satan. The deceptive influence of evil angels can be very, very subtle, because most people do not expect demons to appear as something beautiful. They've been led to believe that they're ugly and they're, you know, all kinds of silly ideas, but they can be beautiful because they naturally are very beautiful, because they were angels in heaven at one time. They can appear as something very horrible as well. They have the ability either to cause themselves to appear as something else or to cause your mind to see them as something else. We're not really completely sure how it works, but either way, it comes out the same. And also, little children, little babies or little children as angels, there is no such thing as that either. The actual cherubim that are talked about in the Bible are magnificent, very tall beings, very bright and beautiful, and they all appear as males, because in the angels, they don't marry and are given in marriage, as the Bible says. They do not have the ability to have families, the same as human beings have been given that ability. So there is no such thing as angel families or male and female angels or angel babies or anything like this. People really need to take heed on this business of idolatry, because to take a image of an angel and set it up in your home, and or to pin it on your clothing, or to wear it dangling from your bracelets or chains or decorations, all of this is going contrary to God's will and is breaking the second commandment. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in earth beneath. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. We are not to do this, and you'll notice that has two parts. First it says, thou shalt not make unto thee any such thing, and then secondly it says, thou shalt not bow down to them. Some people think they can make them as long as they don't bow down to them, but in their minds they are bowing down to them because they're saying, this is an angel. I have an angel on my shoulder. I have an angel there in my house watching over me. And no, this is an idol. And the only type of spirits that will come around an idol are evil spirits. The Bible is very plain about that in the writings of Paul. It tells us the spirits that are involved in the worship of idols are the evil spirits. As we read this story, we can realize how subtly we can be deceived unless we anchor ourselves fully in the Word of God and refuse to move off of it. The way in which that the fallen angels often deceive us is by appealing to our own lust. The Bible tells us that we are led into sin when we follow our own lusts. We all tend to have pride in our heart. We tend to want to be a little bit better than the next guy. We tend to want to know things and have privileges that maybe the next guy never heard of. And this is very much the spirit of fallen man, and it is the spirit of Satan. Satan wanted what he had no right to have. And we want the same thing. We want special power. We want to be admired. We want to have special privileges. And also, man has a deep liking for fantasy. We see this by the countless millions of books that line the shelves, all of them fiction. he has a great tendency to worship his own imagination. And Satan can have a field day here. All he needs to do is start appearing as some angel and start telling them all kinds of fantastic things about other planets and about heaven and about God and so on, and people just eat it up. But if you were keeping your eye on the Word of God and weighing any of the spirits, as we're told in the Bible, to test the spirits, and we have to test them against the Word of God, because we are told that if they speak not according to this Word, it is because there's no light in them. Not a little bit, and not, oh well, you see, what he told me was true, and I did it, and it worked. No, sure, Satan has to mix truth with error. He always does. But the Bible doesn't mix error with truth. So the minute you see an error, or you see something like this putting forth something that the Bible clearly teaches otherwise, then you need to get out of that situation and call upon Jesus to repel these evil spirits, because that's what they are. In these last days, they are appearing as angels of light. They often even appear as the Virgin Mary. Sometimes they pretend to be other figures of history or Bible that are appearing. All of these things are a deception. So I'm going to put this story into MP3s and put it online, because there are so many lessons to be learned from this story. Very, very sad story indeed. May God bless you and enlighten your eyes as you listen. Now, this is the author's preface to the book. It was only after much prayer and meditation that I decided to write this book. For a number of weeks, the words of the Apostle Paul to the Colossians kept repeating themselves to my mind. Let no man beguile you, cheat you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. Colossians 2:18. Yes, Jesus' enemies, Satan and his fallen angels, are at it again in this day and age, misleading and bringing under their control quite a number of God's commandment-keeping people. In fact, two sisters, fourth-generation Adventists, are presently incarcerated in a woman's prison in Oregon as a result of angels supposedly coming from God's throne of grace and leading them to kill two persons with a .38-caliber revolver. In addition to this, friends have brought to my attention similar apparitions of angels in other parts of the world, along with the urgent suggestion that I should write a book to alert God's people to the great danger facing them. But one overpowering factor made it impossible for me to refuse. As I think about that great day, when God will bring the holy city, the New Jerusalem, to earth, and how after the second resurrection has taken place, the redeemed will stand on the walls of the city, looking down upon the lost. What a shock it would be for me to hear someone shout, "Roger Morneau, you coward, look at me. I am in this hopeless situation because you kept your mouth shut and refused to write a book that would have alerted me and others to the fact that Satan was determined to cheat us of our eternal reward through deception. You should be here with us, Roger." By the grace of God dispensed so preciously by His Holy Spirit, this much-needed book is here for you to read. God bless. Roger Morneau. I want to add here a story that was told by Elder Lawrence Nelson of his father. My father was a great believer that God answered prayer. He often told how God answered his prayer when, as a young man, he tried desperately to overcome his drinking habits before he became an Adventist. He was a plasterer by trade, working in the Los Angeles area. Each night as he returned to his home after his workday, he had a habit of spending time at a saloon located at the corner where he got off the streetcar. As the days went by, he realized that he was well on the road to becoming an alcoholic. Listening to his mother's prayers convinced him that God could help him. So one day he asked God to help him not to stop at the saloon that night when he got off the streetcar. He even decided to help himself by riding the streetcar one block further to avoid walking by the saloon where he always stopped. He did not realize that the devil had a saloon on the next corner also. Those were the days when the entrance door to the saloon was composed of two half doors, allowing the liquid aroma to pass over and under the door and out to the sidewalk. As he started to walk by, he was compelled by the smell to enter. He didn't want to, he had determined not to, but his feet took him to the door automatically. His hands pushed the door in. Suddenly he remembered his morning prayer for help, and again he cried out within his heart, "God, help me!" Instantly God opened his eyes, and what he saw he never forgot to his dying day. For over the bar he saw an evil angel hovering in the air above, controlling a dozen or more men who were drinking at the bar. He was captivated by this magnificent creature, about 15 feet in length, as it lay in the air above the bar. For a moment he was spellbound, until this evil angel turned from the men and looked him square in the eyes. He became terrified as he beheld such an evil face, and especially the devilish look in his evil eyes. Dad realized if he joined the men at the bar, this devil would completely control him, as he was controlling all of the other men. Quickly he turned around and walked away, never again to enter any saloon, never again to take a drink.